Good morning and welcome to our service today. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, and the church year ends with that lasting song of triumph for Jesus our King and the promises that he has given to us and that one day we will live with him forever. May God bless our time in his word today. We begin in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours, O Lord, is the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours, Lord. We give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. We turn to our Lord, and for our confession of sins today, we'll use words from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, Lord, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. O Heavenly Father, he has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, by your victory you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to the day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to your unending praise and glory. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is from Jeremiah 23. We have a perfect king. We begin reading at verse 2. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. This is God's word. And we hear a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Jesus is a loving king. We'll begin reading at verse 35. The people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, he said, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the Word of God. And with that, we'll turn to our lesson for our message today from the epistle lesson of Paul's from Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace with through his blood shed on the cross. This is God's word. Don't worry, be happy. A song by Bobby McFerrin, released many, many years ago. Who would disagree with those words? Don't worry, be happy. Well, we do worry, don't we? We worry about our health, our finances, our families, our appearance, and death as well. But the Apostle Paul today assures us there's nothing to worry about. How does he say that? Why can he say that? It's because Jesus is King. Today is the final Sunday of the church year, and as we direct our attention to the epistle before us, Paul assures us nothing to worry about. Jesus is in complete control of our world, complete control of our lives. Do we have concerns about all those things I just said? Yep, we do, and we should. But don't worry, because as Christians, we can live a life free from worry. What does a SWAT team or paramedics or ski patrols and Christ the King have in common? They're all in the business of rescuing people from a bank robbery to a heart attack to a broken leg to, Paul says, Christ has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Dominion of darkness. In the zoo at Fort Worth, Texas, one main attraction is the tropical bird exhibit. The habitat is a rainforest, and where the birds fly, it's very, very bright. The hallways that surround the huge cage where the people walk are kept very, very dark. Eventually, people walk in those hallways realize that there is a glass partition between them and the birds. Why don't those birds fly into that glass like they fly into our picture window at our home? Well, the sign explains that birds love light, and they won't deliberately fly from the light to the darkness, those dark hallways. We humans are just the opposite. By birth, our sinful nature loves the darkness, which the Bible often uses as a picture of sin and evil, unbelief, everything bad. You remember Adam and Eve, and when they first ate of the fruit of the tree, right after they sinned? What did they do? They hid. They didn't want to be seen. That is what sin does to us. It causes us to hide, not wanting to be seen. Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Christ, our King, rescued us from a scary world, and he's brought us into a safe world of light, a place which the Bible pictures as everything good, everything safe, and our new person inside of us wants to live in that light. Jesus rescued us. And how did he do it? He redeemed us. Verse 14, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If your child was kidnapped, what price would you pay to get that child back? You would pay everything you have. You would beg, borrow, and perhaps even steal to get your child back. But despite everything you would do, you still couldn't pay the ransom price. Well, what happened to your child? Perhaps be killed. Redemption means to buy back, to pay a ransom price. We were all kidnapped by sin, by Satan. We were slaves. And the ransom that those enemies demanded, we couldn't pay. Not with everything we owned, not with everything we would try to do. Only Jesus could pay it, because only Jesus can provide the ransom. His perfect, innocent blood. We have redemption. He has rescued us. It's all done. Forgiveness is ours. And as we move on, Paul gives us another reason not to worry, and that is Jesus is the binding force in our lives. We talk about kids being the spit and image of their parents. That means we look like mom or dad, but not only do we look like them, we also act like them. Paul says in verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In Jesus, we have the spitting image of God. What's God like? We're told he's eternal, everlasting. He is almighty. He is love, all powerful. All of these characteristics are Jesus. And therefore, in Jesus, we see that there's nothing to worry about. He removes that worry. Go back to those worries that I opened up with today. Especially three of them, health and finances and family. Why do we sometimes worry about them? Because, well, do you ever get sick? Do you ever feel lousy? Do you ever have that lump somewhere and all of a sudden, oh boy. Do you ever get socked with a big bill that blows your budget? Do you ever have an argument with a spouse? Or one of your kids get in trouble? Up and down goes life, and up and down goes our emotions. Jesus is constant. He is always there. He's always faithful in keeping his promises. He promises to hold all things together, and he has the power to back up that promise. Verses 16 and 17, in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Don't panic. You know, when we face some stress and worry in our lives, those are words we need to hear. In the midst of a crisis, a marriage conflict, a problem with a child, and out of the blue health issues, sometimes it feels like your world is just caving in on you. You feel lonely, you feel afraid, and we don't see any way out. And when we're desperate, what do we tend to do? To run, to quit, or act in haste. We can't discount the pain or minimize the crisis we might get in. But we can, however, turn to Jesus. He holds all things together. He holds us together. Not with hanging there, no. But with his word, his faithful promises. And there's another reason not to worry, and that's Easter Sunday. Verse 18, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. Well, years ago, when I first began my ministry, there was a guy by the name of Reverend Moon. He billed himself as the Messiah. His followers were called Moonies. Over the years, there's been other so-called messiahs, even Jesus, the Messiah. What happened to each and every one of them? All of them. They died. Jesus Christ, the King, is the only one who didn't stay dead. With his resurrection, Jesus takes the biggest worry in our lives out of our lives. And that, of course, is death. For a child of God, our death day is really our birthday, a day that we begin that new life in the glorious home of heaven. And the closing verse of this lesson brings us the final reason not to worry. We have peace. Verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. With those words, Paul takes us to Calvary. And the first thing we do is we listen. And what do we hear? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. That was Jesus' words. And who was Jesus asking forgiveness for? He's praying for those soldiers who were pounding those nails into his hands and feet. He was praying for Pilate, who gave the order to have him crucified. He was praying for the religious leaders who brought the charges against him. And he was praying for those people who were standing there hurling the insults at him as he hung on the cross. And Jesus also is praying for you and me. He's praying for all of us. All of us who have sinned fall short of the glory of God. And again, at Calvary, we listen. And we look. We look at a man who had never heard Jesus preach. He never saw Jesus walk on water. He never saw Jesus heal sick or raise the dead, who knew nothing of the virgin birth or all the Old Testament prophecies that pointed to Jesus. All these things we take for granted. He knew nothing. Yet hanging on the cross next to Jesus, the gospel, the love of God, took over his heart. In the crucified Christ, the criminal saw a king. With the eyes of faith, he saw a crown of glory instead of a crown of thorns. And with this promise, today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus took away all the worry from that guy's life. He died in peace, and he woke up in paradise. In faith, we heard what Jesus said. In faith, we see what the criminal saw. In faith, we have peace with God, the peace that takes all the worry out of our lives. Best of all, it takes the worry all out of our death, because each of us enjoys a life free from worry. Jesus is our King. He's the King we will live with forever in a place that we call heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. For our confession of faith, we're going to use the explanation of the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and he will give eternal life to me and all believers. Amen. Dear Lord, we give you thanks. Because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign, Jesus. Come with your mighty power to break and defeat every evil plan and purpose of the devil, of the ungodly influences and the ideas of this world and of our own sinful nature. Use your power to calm the unrest among nations and the peoples so that your kingdom may spread and grow. Strengthen our confidence in knowing that your kingdom will never be destroyed. Look, he is coming in the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord God Almighty reigns, Let us rejoice and be glad and give him praise. Amen. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless your day. God bless your week.